Guy Winters, let's see, what is this, February 7th, 2016. Tell me when you worked for the Rock Island and what you did.
Well, I started with the Rock Island. My father, in the railroad in those days was what you might call nepotism. The whole family worked for the railroad, and they obtained their position by previous members of the family. My father was a roadmaster for the railroad, and his track was from Little Rock to Memphis. But, of course, he made friends with all the officers, and he told the road foreman of engine, Mr. R.R. Rich, at that time, that he'd like to get his son, as soon as he graduated from school, onto in the engine service. Rich advised him that he didn't have any openings at that time, and he'd be wise to just employ and start a seniority date. So I did get on to braking. Oh, let me back up. My first job was messenger at the Rock Island passenger station, taking messages from the dispatcher's office, which was upstairs, over to the general office, which also was upstairs with the superintendent.
This was in Little Rock.
In Little Rock, yes. And that was short-lived, and I was notified there was an opening with the to be a brakeman, and I applied for it and started in a summer. And that was really not what I wanted, I found out later. It was too big a job for a teenage boy, 18 years old. Went down to bauxite and spent 16 hours. That's when it was 16 hours before the hog law, which was the government law. You could work no longer than 16 hours. And they were kicking cars to me back in the rail yard, and I didn't know any of the hand signals. There are so many that a railroader can talk from, as long as he can see the other railroader, he can infer what he wants to do or intends to do. And they gave me an eat sign, and after about 6 or 7 hours of these cars that they kicked down through the yard to me, and I'd sit a handbrake on them, I worked my way up to them. I thought, something must be wrong. These fellas surely eat lunch. And I told them, I said, when are you gonna eat? Well, we give you that eat signal, eat sign, and you waved your high sign that you understood it. I said, I just waved a high sign that I acknowledge you gave me a sign. I didn't know what it meant. He said, well, we've already eaten. You're gonna go back down in the yard there, and we're going to kick some more cars, get a hold of them, and set the brakes on them. So after 16 hours and get back in, I knew right away that braking was not my career. So Mr. Rich called, and finally got an opening for myself and the other roadmaster's son, who was Bobby Franklin. And we both got on, sort of flipped a coin, which one was going to have seniority in front of the other one. And I started firing. Well, all of the engineers, they were a little leery of us because both of our fathers were officers, and they wasn't sure how much they could tell or talk around us that we might carry back to the officer of the company. We tried to assure them that, no, we're in their craft, we belong to your union, and you needn't worry about us. Loyalty is with the firemen, Brotherhood of Locomotive Firemen and Engine Men.
What year was this?
1952.
Was this diesel engines or still steam?
We had some steam engines. I was fortunate enough, I didn't think of it being fortunate at that time, to catch a couple of switch engines that were oil burners. And I got a taste of that. Nothing in the coal. But the Rock Island was the first railroad to go totally 100% diesel. And it wasn't long after the oil burners went out that they had all the diesels at Little Rock. And I was a fireman for I don't know how many years before I came up for promotion. And was promoted to a locomotive engineer, qualified on all of the equipment that they had in Little Rock for the Rock Island. And I even remember being called for a Hot Springs turn when I was not promoted. And I showed up at the roundhouse. Well, lo and behold, here come L.T. Walker. He was a conductor. And the L.T. asked me, he said, the engineer ought to be showing up here in a little bit. I meant L.T. was a good friend of mine. I'd string him along a little bit. And I said, yeah, I expect him. He'll show up here in a little bit. And L.T. said, well, golly bum, I wonder who it is. I said, L.T., you're looking at the engineer. He said, Guy, you're not promoted. I said, I'm aware of this. I said, the road foreman of engines, W.H. Stivers, called me and said, would you please take this job as an engineer? I know you're not promoted. Be ultra careful, ultra careful. And I'm going to instruct L.T. Walker to ride the engine with you at all times. And he said, I know you can handle the trains. And I said, I'd be happy to. He said, I can't emphasize how much I want you to be careful and blow these whistles at crossings long, long. He said, we don't want to hit any cars, especially when you're not promoted yet to an engineer. And LT all the way out to the locomotive there in the Biddle shops getting ready to couple onto the train. He says, I don't like this at all, Guy. He says, it's got me nervous. I said, well, they won't say. I said, it's been cleared with the officer handling the engineers. He called me, said he was out of engineers. Would I please take it? And he said, okay. Well, in the story, we made a complete successful trip, Hot Springs and back to LT. I thought he was going to have a heart attack.
Yeah, he was. He was big on safety.
Oh yes, oh yes, LT. And one place that was funny, I can look back. It wasn't funny then. Is that I was promoted to an engineer, and one of the first thing, of course, first place you go as an engineer promoted, newly promoted, you go to the engineer's extra board. You're working vacations and sickness of other engineers have laid off. They call me for a international lead engine. And international lead lay upon the top of a mountain around Butterfield, Arkansas. And I had, as a fireman, rode down that mountain before with qualified engineers. And saw how exciting and harrowing it is to get down the mountain. He said, nothing to get up the mountain, it's to get down it. So I went down there and accepted the job, didn't dodge it, and knew I was nervous about it. Got on top of the mountain and in these mud cars that International Lead leases, you could say they had the most pitiful brakes on a car you ever saw in your life. Yeah, they just, the percentage probably to a modern freight car probably operate about 10 or 15% of braking power. Well, they coupled me up to all the lead cars, and we were on our way down, and I had some experienced brakemen with me. And I told them, I said, gentlemen, I said, this is my first trip down off the mountain. And I said, do me one favor, keep it completely quiet. I don't want any talking or chattering in the engine because I'm concentrating on work with the air brakes. And they agreed to it. So I took off down the mountain, and the first thing you do is just get the train moving, and then you shut the engine down to idle, and you start getting a hold of your brakes. There's a first hill, then there's a flat, and a second hill. First hill's not too bad, but by the time you get to the flat, this is where you charge up your air brakes again. And then you go down the second hill. This is where you use your automatic air brakes for the train and the engine and anything you could drag your foot. In fact, you'd like to drag your foot every once in a while to slow the train down. And you're watching the gauges and watching the air slip away from you. This was before they had pressure maintaining and they had the air brakes always maintaining themselves. At the bottom of the hill, there's a derail working on the rail. And should you make it, you're going to go in the ditch with your locomotive. This is to derail is to protect the main line. Trains going up and down the main line, you didn't want to get out in front of, or the side of one of them. So everything worked beautifully. I went right down to that, within a car length of that derail and stopped. And one of the brakemen, he said, that guy, that's really good. He said, you did good. He got off and unlocked the derail, threw the derail off the ball of the rail, and we went on about our business. So second day, we started down the same way, and I went down the first hill, got into the flat. It must have had about 15 or 20 mud cars with me. Then I tipped over and went down the second hill, and there was a rule of thumb on the second hill. There was a road crossing right in the middle of the second hill, and this was called Church House Crossing. Well, if you looked up at your speedometer, and if you were doing over 20 mile an hour through Church House Crossing, you're not going to get stopped at the bottom. And the bottom is about a mile and a half away. So I tipped over that second hill, looked up. About that time, just before we hit Church House Crossing, the brakeman walked across the cab and he said, guy, I've been down here with a lot of experienced engineers and you're as good as anyone I ever saw. I looked back. And the train was at 25 miles an hour, and Church House Crossing was right there in my face. And I put the train in emergency. I got my grip, and this student, I had one student that day. He says, what are we doing? I said, son, get your grip. We're getting off. He says, what do you mean getting off? I said, the train's not going to stay on the rail. That's what I'm talking about. There's a derail working down there at the bottom. He followed me out. I got my grip, and I went down out the back door of the locomotive, went down to the stairs, and he was behind me. He said, will you tell me when to get off? I said, you get off right after I get off. I said, I'll be first, and you know when I go, it's time for you to go too. We'll stay to the last second. The train's slowing a little, but she's not going to get stopped. So he said, are we going? Are we going? He could see finally see the derail working on the rail. I said, wait a minute. I think she's going to stop. This curve, it's in a curve, and it's going to bind up a little bit. And we stopped, I would say, about 10 feet from the derail.
Wow.
And we thought we were going to have to hit the dirt, yeah, which we couldn't have stood up or anything. We just right. Going to booger ourselves up. But that was the experience of the International Lead Hill for me. But I told that brakeman, I said, I told you when you walked across the cab and said, I've never seen anybody better. I said, you took my mind off my business. And I said, she got out from under me.
Yeah, distracted you?
Yeah, sure did.